All right, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So in our second part of the Raising Healthy and Inspired Children, the topic of our talk now is, love, acceptance, and broken buckets. So again, I want to use as a springboard for our conversation now the same pasuk that we started with last time. Whereas in the first class, we really focused a lot more on what we'll call parental methodology, really focusing on Rav Volpe's concepts of Zriya Ubinyan in Chinuch, the Piagetzna's definition, still kind of going with the Piagetzna's definition, that the concept of Chinuch is not one of pedagogy, but that the concept of Chinuch means a discovering of a child's potential. That's our goal as parents, is to be able to discover the potential within our children. And what we're always trying to struggle and figure out, and this, I don't know that this struggle actually ever ends, is how do we do that? And obviously, of course, the simple answer is there's no one answer. Every child is different. Every parent is different. And that is true. We spoke about that in the beginning of last class. But at least we could focus on some general concepts that hopefully will aid us in this holy endeavor. So I want to begin by focusing on an incredible statement of the Gra. The Vilna Gaon says something, and I'm going to tell you that when I first saw it, I found it actually exceptionally troubling. And the truth is, every time I read it, I find it exceptionally troubling. And if it wasn't the Vilna Gaon, I would vehemently disagree with it. But because it's the Vilna Gaon, I know when to disagree with this, so I have to accept it and work on myself. So listen to what the Vilna Gaon says. He quotes on the Pasuk in Mishlei, "V'chanoch l'na pidarko," educate a child, or I should say, be mechanech a child, train a child according to his way. So listen to these words of the Gra, and I'm going to read them to you because otherwise you're going to accuse me of making it up. So this is what the Gra says. V'ha'inyan, ki ha'adam i'ef sharlo lishbar darko. It hurts to read these words, says the Gra says, because a person, i'ef sharlo lishbar darko. How would you translate that phrase? I'ef sharlo, it's impossible, lishbar darko. To break his ways. It's impossible for a person to break his ways. Now you understand why it even hurts to say these words. Why? Because Yiddishkeit, right, Judaism, one of the fundamental pillars is the notion of change. One of the fundamental is, in fact, the greatest gift that God gave us. The greatest gift is tshuva. And tshuva means the ability to change. There's a beautiful Baal Shem Tov. We just had Rosh Chodesh. And in Musaf and Rosh Chodesh, we say, Roshei Chadoshim La'am Chonasato. Now, if you translate it, so we have, God gave us Rosh Chodesh. The truth is, Roshei Chadoshim is plural. It means beginnings of new months you have given us. Ask the Baal Shem Tov, why doesn't it just say, Rosh Chodesh La'am Chonasato? You gave us Rosh Chodesh. And the Baal Shem Tov says something amazing. He says, because you think Rosh Chodesh just comes along once a month. It's not true. Anytime you want to start again in life, anytime you want a do-over, anytime you want your own personal Rosh Chodesh, you don't even have to click your heels. You could just want it. If you want it, if you desire it, it's yours. Rosh Chodeshim La'am Chonasato. Whenever you want a new beginning is not just Rosh Hashanah, it's not just Chodesh Elul, it's not just Yom Kippur. Anytime you want it, you could start over. So this notion of change is what fuels many of us, right? To have a bad day today. So what gives me the strength to get up tomorrow morning? New day, new opportunities, new beginnings. I messed up today, or I messed up yesterday, I messed up for the last 20 years. It's okay. You know what? There's always tomorrow, new beginnings. So the Gra says something amazing. There are certain things you cannot change about yourself. Wow. He says, Kilomar, Mazolo Shenoladbo. This is amazing. The Gra says, we are all born, and this, by the way, has far-reaching implications. We are all born with certain predispositions. And those predispositions, you cannot change. You cannot change. And the Gra brings a proof. He brings down the Gemara Masechet Shabbos that says, Hayman Debema'adim. Person is born under the influence of Mars, when the red planet is a little bit more prominent in the constellation, right? So what does the Gemara say? That means, Ihi gever ashidama. He's going to be a person who spills blood. What does that mean when Chazal say that? Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, a person is born with certain predispositions. I've given you those predispositions. You cannot change those predispositions. So what does it mean? Someone's born under the influence of Mars, they're going to spill blood. What does that mean? But the Gemara, remember, there's a follow-up. What's the follow-up statement? I do have a choice as to what? How I spill that blood. Right? So again, Amar Avashi, Iumna, Iganva, you could be a bloodletter. You could be a thief. You could be a butcher. You could be a moel. In other words, this is your predisposition. This is who and what you're going to be. But you have a choice how to channel it. You have a choice, and this is incredible. Because what the Gra is telling us is that there are certain parts of our personality. Now again, you have to be very careful with this, because sometimes people get very excited about this Gra for all the wrong reasons. Because they think that it's like the get out of jail of change free card, right? I don't have to do anything. This is who I am. Right? How often do you hear this? A person says, you know, I have such a bad temper. No, it's a change. This is who I am. No. A Jew never says, this is who I am. You could say, this is who I choose to be. That you could say, that's more accurate. This is who I am is an incorrect statement. So what the Gra is saying is like this. I'll just give you by the anger. For example, the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, he says a person is supposed to have a little bit of every kind of midah. But there are certain character traits, certain attributes that you should not have any little bit of. One of the examples that Rambam says is anger. Anger is terribly destructive. A person shouldn't have any kind of anger. So the Rambam says, no, so what happens if a person has a very bad temper? What should I do if I have a very short fuse? So what's the incredible, like, Maimonidean pearl of wisdom that he gives me to overcome my bad temper? Stop getting angry. Like, I could have been the Rambam, right? You know, right? Stop getting angry. What is the Rambam saying? It's an incredible, I wouldn't stop getting angry. Anger is energy. Anger is passion. Passion is powerful. You just have to know how to channel that passion in the right way. Doesn't mean become a dispassionate person. Chas v'shalom. You become a dispassionate person, you lose your fire for life. You lose your fire for accomplishment. It's all about channeling that passion the right way. So the Gra says something amazing. He says all of us have predispositions for certain things. Just because you have a predisposition does not mean that you have an excuse for using it negatively. My bechira, my free choice, comes along with, okay, this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me. I'm wired a certain way. I see the world a certain way. I have certain character traits in a certain way. How do I channel this in the proper way? And the Gra goes on, Zeu Ne'emar, get ready for this. Zeu Ne'emar, Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko. Says the Gra, that's the meaning of this piece of Solomonic wisdom. What does it mean, Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko? You know, sometimes people use this. You know, there's in educational methodology, there's something called multiple intelligences, which is an incredible idea. Children learn different ways. You know, it used to be that any child who couldn't sit for prolonged periods of time was labeled as? ADHD. No, that's newer. That's newer, right? Troublemaker. Troublemaker, why can't you sit? Now we understand children learn different ways. There are children who can sit and learn. There are other children who are kinesthetic learners, right? They need to get up. They need to do it. Children who have more mathematical minds. All different kinds of things. So the Gra says something amazing. Chanoch lenar al pi darko doesn't just mean in terms of like educational methodologies. Chanoch lenar al pi darko means I have to understand what the predispositions of my child are. Who is my kid? Every single human being is born with certain strengths and certain weaknesses. Every single person says, ultimately, again, the Gra is born with certain derech, certain way, certain what we call the proclivity or predisposition. And those things are immutable. You cannot change that in the child. The only thing you have to do as a parent is teach a child how to channel that predisposition in a way that ultimately highlights a strength. So much of successful chinuch, says the Gra, is getting to know who your child is. You know what the deep, dark secret of parenting is? That very often we try to make our children in our own image. Parents, whether they realize it or not, live vicariously through our children. You know, Rav Shlomo Shneifel Hirsch writes, he says, why is it that people naturally have a desire to reproduce? People naturally have a desire for children. It's not because it satisfies a physical desire, a carnal desire, you could take care of that without having children. So why is it that people have a natural desire for children? Rav Hirsch says something amazing. He says, because what do we yearn for more than anything? Deep down, immortality. But immortality is not in the stars. What's the closest thing to immortality that we could achieve in this world? Children. Fame also, but even fame leaves with you, right? It has a time, right? But children, what children do is children outlive me. That's the hope in Eretz Hashem. Right? When I have a child, there's a part of me that lives on even when I am gone. Parents, you know, it's the same way that you see this all the time where parents try to, and I think it's very unfortunate, push their children in different directions early on. Oh, it's going to be a doctor. He's 4 years old. Because he picked up a stethoscope and put it in his ears, he would have put it in his nose if you weren't there also, right? Oh, he's going to be a doctor. Who says? And parents, we have to be very careful with this, because a lot of times, when as parents we have unfulfilled dreams, which every human being does, we see our children as the fulfillment of our dreams. And so often it happens, and sometimes in very unknowing ways, that parents try to push children to do things that the parent even, you know, parents often say, I want better for you. But sometimes, like the Rashi on that statement is, I want you to do the things that I was never able to do, whether you want to do them or not. Because if you do them, then ultimately, again, that's my success. And now again, it's not in a bad way, it's just in a subconscious way. What the Gra is saying is something dramatically amazing. The goal of parenting is not to make your child in your image. The goal of parenting, says the Gra, is to know your child. We become so caught up in who we want our child to be that we forget to take the time to know who our child really is. And that only comes out over time. That requires keen observation. That requires attentiveness. That requires conversations with your child. That requires spending time with your child. Who is this kid? The Gra says every person has a derech. Kadosh Baruch Hu programs us in different ways. And you cannot change the programming. You can't hack the divine programming to make it into something else that you want. It is what it is. And your job as a parent is to try to figure out what's the program, and then how do I channel it in a way? And this is so incredibly important. This, by the way, I want to tell you, has far-reaching ramifications on so many different levels. A lot of times, just kind of leaving for a moment the home and going into the school system, so many times the metric for success in schooling is the grade on the test, or how well a child learns, or how long, if it's especially with boys, a boy could sit for and learn. You know, not everybody is cut out to sit and learn for prolonged periods of time. And if a child cannot sit in front of a Gemara for a prolonged period of time, that's not a failure in the child. That just means that that child is programmed a little bit differently. I want to tell you something amazing. I see this in my community, that if you look at some of the most successful young entrepreneurial guys in the community where I live, almost all of them were like horrible in school. I don't mean academically. They were behavior doing this. Why? Because they couldn't fit in the box. So once they got out of school and were able to do their own thing, they became wildly successful. And I imagine to myself, imagine had someone spent the time not trying to fit them into a box, but trying to figure out who they were, they still would have gone on to success. But they would have had much more positive affiliations and relationships with Judaism, with Torah, with teachers. And as parents, so leaving the school aside, because it's not a topic on schools, but focusing a little bit more on parenting, says the Gra, Chanuch Ana Api Darko, means take the time to figure out your child. And you know, sometimes one of the most difficult parts of parenting, because inevitably every parent has an image of who they want their child to be. You know, when your child is born, whether we admit it or not, I have in mind, right? I know if it's a boy, what the bar mitzvah is going to look like, and who they're going to marry, where they're going to live, and what kola they're going to learn in, or this, or whatever your, what medical school they're going to go to. And you know, in that moment, when your child does not quote-unquote meet your expectations, which inevitably happens, so a strong parent has to say is, well, my expectations were wrong. Sometimes. Sometimes the idea of my child just doesn't live up to it for whatever the reason. But we have to avoid creating our children in our own images and taking the time to really figure out who the child is. And sometimes, yeah, it might be who my child is might be different than who I wish my child was. No, it's difficult to say these words, but it's okay. We're human beings. So naturally, we have expectations of greatness for our children. And we look at that greatness in a certain way. All of our children are going to be great, but they might be great in a different way than I thought their greatness would actualize. Some parents don't want to align their vision of what their child really is, where their child really, who their child really are, with where they're holding. Some parents insist on maintaining that other vision that I have for my kid, and that's where an incredible amount, it's like a collision course, an incredible amount of stress, an incredible amount of difficulty comes up. So part number one says the Gra, Chanuch na pidako, take the time to know who your child is. Don't raise your child in the image of who you want them to be, but ultimately try to take the time to discover who they really are. Number two, there's an incredible piece here, and this, you know, each of these topics are really shiurim in and of themselves. But there's another piece about loving children, and this is incredibly important. And you know, parenting takes on different forms in different generations. And there is no question that in the age in which we live, the adage of spare the rod, spoil the child is out the window, right? The rod does not work. The rod does not work. I don't mean just in terms of physical punishment, but I mean in terms of children need love, and children need a lot of love. Now, again, I want to be clear. This does not mean that there should be a lack of rules or lack of framework. You know, I remember, this is going back a number of years, but it made such an impression on me. I was in a store on Erev Shabbos, and there was a mother with a young child, maybe 5, 6 years old, and the kid was mamash like having a meltdown. A meltdown ship of meltdowns, right? And the mother gets on her knees, and the child, like mamash, like pulling stuff off the shelves, and the mother takes, and she says, I forgot whatever the kid's name. Use your words. Tell me what's wrong. Like, use your words. You should use your hand. You know, that's what, you know, meaning that sometimes you have to be careful that parenting requires an incredible amount of love, but there still has to be rules, and there has to be sternness, and there has to be a framework. Parents who don't give children rules and do not create a framework for them to develop, you're doing a disservice to your child. Because children who don't understand the concept of rules become adults who don't understand the concept of rules. And adults who don't understand the concept of rules get themselves into a whole lot of trouble. So a parent owes it to their child to discipline. A parent owes it to their child, I'm not going to say to be strict, but to be able to say, you do this, we don't do this. And by the way, not everything needs an explanation either. It's okay sometimes to say, I'm the parent, you're the child, and that's just the way it's going to be. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to appreciate it. I don't need you to be my friend. That's not your job, is to be a friend. I need to be your parent. That being said, I don't know of any other time in history that children need to be loved more. Our children are bombarded with so many different things. And there are so many negative influences out there. I don't just mean spiritually negative. I mean like socially negative. There is so much difficulty and so many things that are just antithetical to our values on so many different levels that we want our children to feel enveloped by the love of the home. We want them to feel that Ava. Revolbi says something amazing. I'm going to quote to you this idea because it blew me away. He says like this. He says, Echad Abayim, I'm just going to record it to you. Echad Abayolajim Hagdolim Matzah Davar Nifla. So this is Revolbi's, Sul Revolbi Sefer that I quoted in the first class of Zriya Binyan Bechinuch. He says, one of the biologists found something amazing. So he went ahead and he compared animal gestation with human gestation. And listen to what he found. He says that if you notice by animals, right, he gives an example, for example, a foal, F-O-A-L, a horse gives birth. The foal, within a little bit of time, is walking around, right? Walking around, yet a human being, so obviously we are born much more underdeveloped than the animal kingdom. So he writes, one of the biologists said that in order for a human baby to be advanced as the foal, the gestational period of a mother would have to be another year. I'm not recommending it for the ladies, right? It would have to be another year. If a human being had his gestational period an additional year longer, a baby would be ready for the world just like the foal is ready for the world. And Rav Volpe says, you see something amazing. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us this way? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling us an incredible, as he says, Rav Volpe, that the womb experience is too short. It doesn't give a child everything they need to be successful in this world. So what do I have to do? The home has to be a continuation of the womb experience. It's such an incredibly beautiful idea. Our children come into this world and they are not prepared. They get what they need to biologically exist outside of the world. The mother gives them what they need on a basic level for 9 months to be able to come into the world and exist on a very basic level. But then the home has to become the womb for the remaining years of the child's maturation to be able to give the warmth, the love, the nurturing, and the nourishment to be a healthy, viable Jew and human being. It's such an incredible idea. We have to be loving parents. And we have to go ahead and be expressive in that love. You know, Rabbi Rakefet writes in his biography about Rabbi Soloveitchik that the Rav said that his father never told him he loved him. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik never told the Rav that he loved him. He said, I knew my father loved me, but he never said it. That was brisk. In the world of brisk, there's no emotion. Right? In the world of brisk, it's intellect. The emotion is weakness. He says when he said goodbye to his father at the train station in Warsaw, they were literally, Moshe Soloveitchik was going to America. Right? That was it. That was, who knows when they were going to see each other again. They shook hands. The Rav said, I knew my father loved me. This was not an indictment of his father. He knew it. He knew it because he understood the context. We have to be so expressive in our love to our children. And even if they get annoyed if we kiss them when they go into school because they're embarrassed in front of all of their friends, embarrass the heck out of them. Because I'll tell you why. They will always remember that kiss. And they might squirm a little bit initially. But to know that you're loved by your parents is an invaluable thing. But to articulate it, to say it, the truth is, and by extension, it's important, by the way, for children to see love between parents also. Very important for children to see affection between parents, because so much of that creates an affectionate home. Sometimes in life, we rely on the fact that people know how we feel about them. Of course you know that I love you. You're my kid. Of course you know that I'm proud of you. You're my child. Of course you know how I feel about you. Look at everything I do for you. Children need to hear it. And they need to hear it sometimes, not when they get 100 on the test. You know, I'll tell you an incredible idea. The pasuk says, it's actually a very overwhelming pasuk. The pasuk says, Basar basad et shreifa lo sochelun lakelev tashlichen oso. That Pasuk literally says, if you see an animal killed by another animal in the field, it's what's called the treifa. Treifa is an animal that's killed by another animal, you can't eat it. Lakelev tashlichen oso, throw it to the dogs. So the commentaries all explain, why does the verse have to tell me to throw it to the dogs? Just tell me what? Don't eat it. That's it. I'm not allowed to eat it. I mean, what does it matter if I throw it to the dogs or I give it to my Gentile neighbor who doesn't, not bound by the dietary laws, or I throw it in the garbage? What does it matter? So the Dasi King of Bala Tosa says something absolutely amazing. So the Pasuk doesn't say likhelev to a dog, but rather it says what? Lakhelev. Lakhelev translates as to the dog. Which dog? Says the Dasi King of Bala Tosa something amazing. Throw it to the sheepdog. What's a sheepdog? You know, if you're a shepherd, you have a sheepdog, right? That helps you, the flock. When is there a treifa? A treifa means a predatory animal infiltrated the flock and killed one of my sheep, one of my animals, which means who wasn't doing their job? The sheepdog. What do you do in the moment that the sheepdog fails? You give him the carcass to eat that he should have a good lunch. Why, says the Bala Tosa? Because sometimes when people fail us in life, all we remember is the failure. That failure often obscures all of the beautiful things which happened beforehand. The sheepdog failed you. What about all the times that he was there for you? What about all the predatory animals that he did fight off? What about all the battle scars that he does have because he protected the flock those many times? In that moment of failure, remember all of the times that he was there for you. And how do you show him the appreciation? You give him that he should have a good dinner. He should have the carcass. He should be fed. It's important to express love, not when your kid hits a home run, and not when they get 100, or not when they do something amazing. But dafka in those times when they disappoint, dafka in those times when they misbehave. Again, discipline, but express love. Be stern, but be loving. Because our children know that we love them when they're successful. Because in general, people know that they're beloved when they're successful. The real nature and the real metal of the parent-child relationship is what happens in those moments when things are not so good. And for a child to know that my parent loves me, for a child to know that my parent loves me not just when I do well, when I succeed, and when I toe the line, but they love me no matter what, is an incredible gift you give your children. And those of us who are privileged to grow up in homes where our parents loved us and continue to love us unconditionally, it gives you the most incredible amount of strength to weather various challenges in life. To know that someone loves you no matter what you do or what you don't do is incredible. I'll give you an example of this, and kind of to build on this a little bit. The Gemara tells us, actually it's really the Medrash, which tells the story of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Now, Eliezer ben Hyrcanus was one of the primary disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was Mishnah Pirkei Avos, when he extols the virtue of his five primary disciples, and when it comes to Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, he calls him a bor sid she'eno ma'abed tipa. He's a cemented cistern which never lost the drop. Never lost a drop, which seems to tell us about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus' powerful memory retention. Anything he learned, he never forgot. But to appreciate that statement, you have to look at the story. What was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus? So first of all, you understand, already again, from his father's name, what can you tell? Right? So it doesn't sound like a very pious Hyrcanus is not, as they say, Yiddish Anumen, right? It's not a Jewish name. That's a Greek-Roman name. So the Medrash tells us the backstory of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus had no formal education. He had no Jewish education. He was born into a wealthy family who owned a lot of real estate. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, from a young age, was trained to be an expert farmer. So the Medrash relates a story that one day, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is out in the field, and he's sitting on a rock crying. And his father finds him, Eliezer, what's wrong? And at first, before Eliezer won't answer, his father thought, you know what, maybe I gave him a very rocky patch of soil to go ahead and till. It's too much for him. He moves him, you know, why don't you go ahead and till this soil? It's a little bit softer. So he switches him to a different patch of soil. Comes back a few days later, again he finds his son, Eliezer, sitting on a rock crying. He says, Eliezer, what's wrong? He says, Father, I want to go and learn Torah. Hyrcanus says, ridiculous. Stop it. Get back to work. This scene repeats itself a few days later. Hyrcanus comes by, check on the field. Young Eliezer is crying. Father, right? Hyrcanus says, why are you crying? Eliezer says, I want to go learn Torah. Hyrcanus says to his son, listen, you're 20 years old already. You've never learned a word of Torah. You will amount to nothing. The best thing you could do for yourself is be a good farmer. There's a whole empire waiting for you over here. All this real estate will be yours one day. You will not accomplish, the ship has sailed on your Torah education. The ship has sailed on your ability to develop Judaically. You're done. You're 20 years old already. It's too late for you. You know nothing. Focus on the field. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus hears this from his father, and he decides to run away. He runs away from home, and he goes to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Yerushalayim. And he shows up in the Beis Medrash, and he walks in, and he has no idea what's happening. no idea what's happening because he's never learned a word of Torah in his life. He goes into the corner, he starts crying. Who finds him? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Bini, lama tabocha, why are you crying? So Eliezer says, I've never learned Torah and I want to learn. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, we'll learn together. He didn't know Aleph Beis. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the Gadol Hador, the ranking sage of the generation, begins to teach young Eliezer ben Horkinus, Aleph Beis, Shema, Birkas HaMazon, benching, until Eliezer ben Horkinus develops into one of the ranking sages, one of the primary disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Fast forward a number of years. Now apparently during this time, Eliezer didn't make any attempt to connect with his father. His father didn't make any attempt to connect with him. Horkinus comes to the Sanhedrin, comes to the high court in Yerushalayim. And why does he come there? Because Eliezer's brothers convinced their father Horkinus to write Eliezer out of the will. Just write him out of the will. You know, he abandoned us, he shirked us out, write him out of the will. So Horkinus comes to the high court, to the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, to come amend his will. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees Horkinus, and you have to listen to this story. He says, Eliezer, the day has come that now today I want you to give your first shiur in public. Eliezer says, Rabbi, I'm not ready. He says, yes, you're ready. Come and give the shiur. Now, unbeknownst to Eliezer, his father Horkinus is there in the audience. Eliezer ben Horkinus gets up to give his shiur in front of the greatest sages of Yerushalayim. And the Medrash says so beautifully that he said words that day, said divrei Torah, shelo shamu ozen me'olam. Torah that was so beautiful that no one ever heard before, such beautiful Torah. And every statement that came out of Rabbi Eliezer's mouth, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got up and he kissed him on the head. Can you imagine this scene? He's giving the shiur. In the middle of the shiur, every statement, he gets up, he kisses his prized Talmud on the head. And when he finishes the shiur, he sits down. And Horkinus stands up. And Horkinus says, I have an announcement to make. I came here to write my son Eliezer out of my will. I hereby proclaim, Kol nechasai nisunim le'Eliezer b'ni. All of my property is hereby given to Eliezer, my son. And Eliezer says, Father, I never wanted your money. I never wanted your land. All I ever wanted was for you to believe in me. All I ever wanted was for you to believe that I could. Money, that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. What he'll give me, what he decides I'll have, he'll decide that I have. Father, all I ever wanted was for you to believe in me. You want to know the greatest thing you could ever give your child is that they should know that you believe in them. They should know that you love them. They should know that you are by their side no matter what happens. Now again, to be clear, it doesn't mean that you're going to agree with a lot of the stuff that they do. And I want to point out, parents have an obligation to voice when they feel the child is doing something wrong. It to be vociferous. And when a child makes bad decisions, there are absolutely repercussions and ramifications for the parent-child relationship. That is clear. Loving unconditionally does not mean unconditional acceptance. Acceptance and love are two very, very, very different things. I will love my children unconditionally, but there are many things that I will never ever accept if they choose to do, and I'll be terribly upset if they choose to do it, and it'll alter my relationship with them if they choose to do it, but they have my love. But especially when they're young, the belief unconditionally that a child should know that I believe in you no matter, I believe in you. After all, going back to kind of our first year, what did the PHS, what's chinuch? Chinuch means bringing out the potential in my child. You see, if Horkinus was a good father, so when Eliezer says, Father, I want to learn Torah, what he would say is, okay, if that's your dream, and it's a good dream. Apparently, Horkinus didn't believe it was a good dream. But a good father would have said, if that's your dream, let's figure out how to make it happen. If that's your aspiration, Let's figure out how to make that into a reality. If that's what you feel is going to be your contribution, then at the end of the day, let's figure out together how we can make that occur. So if we take these three ideas, and then we'll end off with one last one. We take this idea, number one, of learning who our children really are. The Gra says, Chanoch l'ra pi darko, bless you. Going and understanding who my child is, the predisposition of my child. Learning ultimately, again, how to create a home that is an extension of the womb, that gives warmth, that gives love. Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, learning how to believe in our children. And again, as parents, it's not enough just to feel these things inside. We have to become master communicators with our children. We have to show them and tell them. Again, part of it is just telling them. You know, maybe I'll... There's an amazing Maral. The Maral says, you know, going back to Parshas Chayisara. So the Maral says that Rashi HaKadosh notes the juxtaposition between the death of Sarah Imenu and Akedas Yitzchak. What's the nature of that juxtaposition? So people often misread this Rashi, misread the Medrash. So people think that Sarah Imenu died. Why? Why did she die? Because she heard about the Akedah. So in fact, that's not what the Medrash says. The Lashon of the Medrash is Kaber Rashi is, she heard about the Akedah and Kim'at Shalom Nishchot. She heard that Yitzchak was almost shechted. Almost shechted, which means what? She knew that what? He was alive. She knew full well that Yitzchak was alive. So what's the pshat? What's the pshat ultimately again? That if she knew that Yitzchak was almost alive, so why did she die? What happened? Baruch Hashem, good news, your son is alive. So the Maran Gur Aryeh says something absolutely amazing. She realized how close her son had come to death, and she was totally unaware. Like, she was just going through her day thinking that everything was absolutely fine, but her son was almost killed. So in that moment, says the Maharal, she realized the profound fragility of life. How everything could change in an instant. And in that moment, when she encountered the fragility of life, Sarah Imenu said, I can't do this. I can't live with this type of awareness. I can't live knowing that everything, including my son's own well-being, could change on a dime. So what's the Lashon of the Medrash? Parcha Nishmasa. Parcha Nishmasa is not like a Lashon of she decided to die. Parcha Nishmasa means what? Literally, her soul leapt out of her body. In other words, that's the Lashon, that's the expression that's used when you become so overwhelmed by something that you can no longer go on in this world. She knew Yitzchak was alive and well. She was so overwhelmed by the reality of the fragility of life that she just couldn't, she couldn't live like that anymore. So I've always thought, based on this Maharal, you know, that fragility of life is something that all of us contend with. Most of us just choose not to think about it, right? Because the truth is, thinking about the fragility of life is a little bit overwhelming. But I would tell you something that I think is exceptionally profound. Make sure you send your children off in the morning with a message of love, a message of belief, and a message of encouragement. Because at the end of the day, none of us knows what the coming day holds. And I don't mean chas v'shalom something as dramatic as Akedas Yitzchak. I just mean stuff happens every single day where sometimes our children are upset or our children are hurt or their egos are bruised or their sense of self-confidence are abused or someone makes fun of them or this, that. The world is not an easy place. And if as a parent, before my child goes into their day, I arm them with, I will tell you, I try to always be makbid, to always be home before my children go to school. And I'll tell you a little secret. Even if it requires me to take off my talis and tefillin a few moments early from shachris, I try to always be home before they go to school. And they make fun of me because I tell them every single day before they leave, I love you and I'm proud of you. I love you and I'm proud of you. Because there's one thing I know. I have absolutely no idea what the coming day holds. But whatever challenges they're going to encounter, and inevitably there will be some, especially Bach Shemai, four daughters, there's always, and two sons, especially with my girls, there's always drama, right? There's always something that's going to unfold over the course of the day. They should always know that they have parents who love them and are proud of them. And that's a proactive proud. That's not because you came home at the end of Yishom, you got 100, you got a 90, you did this, you did that, the GO did this, the Chesed did this. No, no, no. I'm telling you before you do anything today, before you do anything, that I'm proud of you. Before you do anything, that I love you. Before you do anything, that I believe in you. Sometimes, again, these are the powerful things that we arm our children with. The world is a crazy place. And we don't even know, you know, sometimes our kids tell us everything, they don't tell us everything. But never underestimate the power of going into the world armed with the knowledge that there's a parent who loves you, there's a parent who believes in you, there's a parent who unconditionally feels attached to you. So if we bring this all together, it turns out that again we have these, I think, 3/4 different lessons. This Chanochon Pidarko, ultimately telling us that number one, the Gra, take the time to know who your child is. Don't fall into the trap of making your child in your own image, but ultimately take the time to understand who your child really is. Number two, make sure your home life is an extension of the womb. Make sure that your home life ultimately, again, is an extension and filled with incredible love and incredible acceptance. And number three, the story of Elazar ben Hyrcanus, make sure your child knows that you believe in them. Not just enough to know they believe in them, but believe in them. And sometimes, even if your child wants to do something, I'll just end with this. I know we're out of time, but I'll just end with this. I've told the story a number of times in different shows. I once had a parent who called me up and was having, "Rabbi Silber, it's an emergency, I have to meet with you. It's an issue with my children." I said, "Of course." So the parents came to me and they met me and they said, "We're very distressed because our child always walks around saying that he wants to be a washing machine. I want to see a washing machine. What's wrong with him? Right? Always want to see a washing machine. He's not an astronaut, a basketball player, a policeman, a washing machine. Like, what's wrong with this kid?" So, you know, I had to control myself a little bit because when people tell me they have an emergency, so in my line of work, you know, emergencies are emergencies. But of course, everybody's emergency is an emergency. So I said, if your child says they want to be a washing machine, you only have to ask them one simple question. How many settings? Do you want to be a stackable? Do you want to be a washer dryer? You want to be? I said, why? I said, what is your child showing you? Your child has an imagination. And what they're really saying is, I could be anything I want, including a washing machine. The last thing you want to do as a parent is to quash that. The last thing you want to do is tell them, no, you can't. Because that's not the role of a parent. The role of a parent is a facilitator of growth. The role of a parent is, yes, you can. Now, obviously, if they're saying that when they're 15, we'll meet again. Right? But understand, but when they're young and that imagination is running wild. And I said, even on a deeper level, you have to understand there's something very holy happening inside of your child. What does your child see? A washing machine is a very holy thing. What does it do? It takes something that's dirty and it makes it clean. Your child sees that, and what their neshama is really saying is an incredible process of tahara. They're seeing the ability to take something that is soiled and to remove the impurities and to make it clean again. There's something holy in laundry. It doesn't feel that way, right? But there's something incredible about, if you can imagine if I could do it with my shirt, imagine what I could do with my soul, right? If I could clean the shirt no matter what impurities, imagine what I could do with myself. But I said, your job as a parent is to ultimately fuel those dreams. Your job as a parent is never to do what Hyrcanus did to his son and tell him, no, you can't. Your job as a parent is to tell you, I love you, I believe in you, and it's my job to help you become whatever it is you desire to become. We'll have to stop over here for today. I know we didn't get to the broken buckets, but I may as well have to say that's for a future share. Thank you.